O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. I wasn't aware of that verse in that song that Gary chose, but it says exactly what we have before us tonight in our study. The way to joy is sometimes through suffering. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it joy when you fall into temptations. It's what James said in James 1:2. They departed out of the presence of the council, being thankful that they were thought worthy, or rejoicing that they were thought worthy, to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing that you're thought worthy to suffer shame. That's what's stated in Acts 5 and verse 41. In a real sense, many times, in order to have the end result of joy, there is the necessity of going through that which may cause pain. And so there is a real sense in which the way to joy is through suffering. Let's look at three ways tonight where that is true in the physical realm, in our daily lives. And then three ways in which it is true from a spiritual standpoint. As far as the health of the body is concerned, sometimes the way to joy and real pleasure is through suffering. When I was growing up as a boy, I'm convinced that there were only two kinds of medicine that my dad and mother would buy. And that was one which would taste bad and the other which would sting. I don't remember that we had any medicine, at least very many if any, but what either tasted good, tasted bad, or would sting. I remember that we always used one of two things to put on a scratch or a cut. It was always iodine or methylate. I learned pretty early in life that I preferred mercurochrome a great deal over either of those other two, because it didn't sting. But I also learned rather quickly that if I used that which was really good for the problem and which would cause that to heal and especially protect it from becoming infected and having serious problems, that there were times that I had to put something on that scratch or on that cut that would sting and burn for just a moment, that it might heal and everything be all right later. That's why we sometimes have to have surgery and other kinds of treatment that cause pain for a moment. There are instances where people will go in for surgery and suffer the very severest of pain for a few days as they're recovering from that and as the body is adjusting to the change, so that in a few days or a few weeks they're able to get up and go about their normal activities of life and maybe even do some things that they could not do before. I remember being associated with an older lady just a few years ago who was in intensive care in a hospital for something like 100 days. Several days did not even know what was going on and went through every kind of treatment that you could think of. Hooked up to all these different kinds of machines, but she recovered. The last time I saw her, was able to go about living a fairly normal life. I'm reminded tonight of being associated with a man who was riding on a tractor, was hit by an automobile, threw him up in the air, landed on the pavement, and literally broke every bone connected with both hips. When he got to the hospital in Nashville, the doctor said there is not a bone together in either of the hips. The only thing that's holding his legs on are the muscles and the skin, the flesh. They use something that has now been prepared, it's been used in the last few years, where a metal frame was built around this man. And literally those iron bars, or not iron, but metal that's even better than that, went into the body and screwed and bolted those bones together. And a frame was out in front of him, something like 6 to 12 inches in different places, with adjustments on that where it could be screwed a little tighter or let out a little bit. And that man literally lay on his back for a long time and then was able to get up and sit in a wheelchair with this metal frame built around his hips. That man went through some of the most excruciating pain that evidently anybody has ever experienced. The last time I saw that fellow, he was working in his nursery, almost free of pain now, enjoying life, enjoying the opportunity to be productive, enjoying different aspects of it. He had to go through a period of suffering in order to come to that time of joy. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, in the American Standard Version, "I buffet my body." In the New King James Version, "I discipline my body." And try to bring it under subjection or keep it in subjection after having preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. There are just some things, folks, that we must experience and some things that we must endure, even as far as the physical body is concerned. Now, I suppose that every little boy and girl in here tonight hates to get a shot. You start to the doctor, that's one of the first things, is he going to give me a shot? We're all, and it's not just the little boys and girls, those bigger boys and girls sometimes feel that way too. But you know, sometimes there's the necessity of that pain that comes from that one shot, that vaccination or that inoculation or that shot that may be giving us antibiotics or whatever it is that's going to fight that problem that we have. And sometimes enduring that pain of that one shot will make it possible in just a few hours or maybe a few days to be back about the things in life that are joyful. So in this sense, sometimes the way to joy is through suffering. The next point is one that there is no possible way that I can understand it as you mothers do. In John the 16th chapter and verse 21, "A woman when she is in travail hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." Now, doesn't that say exactly what we're saying tonight, that the way to joy is sometimes through suffering? I'm sure that there is no way that those of us who are fathers and husbands can appreciate this in the same way of those of you who are mothers. And yet, I think I have a little bit of an idea, having been associated with the birth of four of our children, and having been with many families when a new baby was born into that family. Having read and listened to what is said, I'm sure that every mother that's here tonight who has had a healthy baby born or a baby born that you could see within a matter of just a few seconds after that baby is born realize this principle to its fullest. There is that pain, there is that pain that's associated even with the period of time that leads up to the birth. And in some instances, mothers-to-be go through a great deal of suffering and pain and anguish and facing difficult times even before the time of birth. And then the pain of childbirth itself that is there even according to God's will. But I've been told by many mothers, you know, in just a few seconds, when you see that baby and realize that here is a bundle of joy that's been brought into the world, you forget all the pain that was involved. The way to joy sometimes involves suffering. And then take that one step further. I believe this principle applies in the rearing of children. I never will forget what was said by a professor that I had when I was in school at Tennessee Tech, Dr. Claude Farr, who at that time was the head of the education department. He and his wife had one son. Someone asked him one day about that son, and his first statement was, "If we'd known he was going to be so much trouble, we never would have had him." And I guess all of us as parents have almost felt that way sometimes, haven't we? Not really meaning it. But you know, many times there are sufferings that go along with being parents. There are times that we as dads and mothers shed tears because of some of the difficulties and problems that are there. And there are times that we have to punish. You boys and girls, listen to this very closely. Because you've been told, no doubt, by your dad or mother, sometimes that this is really for your good, and you have a hard time understanding how something that hurts can be for your good. And yet that's exactly the principle that's involved. In fact, I'd like to throw out the very opposite of this tonight to those who may be concluding the wrong conclusion that there's no need for discipline in rearing children. Let me tell you, the way to suffering is through joy, instead of the way to joy through suffering. And if you think you can ignore what God's Word has to say about bringing your children up in the nurture, that's the negative side of punishment, and the admonition, that's the positive side of punishment, and it's noteworthy that they're both right there connected with a little word and in the same verse. If you think you can enjoy the bringing up of your children without any punishment, then for you the way to suffering is through the joy that you think you have now, because that's what's going to come later. But the true biblical principle in rearing children is that the way to joy may involve some punishment. It may involve some shedding of tears. It may involve some hurting. It may involve some denial. We hear a lot said today about saying no. And if you've seen these red ribbons around town, they're representing that idea. And I'm appreciative of all that's being done by any of the people in this area to promote the idea among our young people of saying no to drugs. But folks, we've got something that's more important than our young people saying no. We need some parents to learn to say no. First of all, some decisions relative to their own lives, and then especially some decisions relative to the rearing of their children. One of the reasons some young people today don't know how to say no is they were brought up by parents who didn't know how to say no. The way to joy is through suffering. You know, most successful people were reared by the meanest mother. And I put that in quotes. I've read several articles that were written by some successful gospel preachers entitled, "I Had the Meanest Mother." And no doubt all of us thought that our dads and our mothers were somewhat mean to spank us and to punish us and to withhold things from us. How mean could they be? Certainly they would want us to enjoy life. Yes, they wanted us to enjoy life. And they realized that the way to true joy may sometimes involve the suffering of punishment out of love and the denial of those things that would hurt. The way to joy is sometimes through suffering. This principle is true then in the physical realm relative to the care of our own bodies. The birth of a child that comes through pain and yet is one of the greatest blessings that anyone can have, and that little bundle of joy and the joy that comes even later. And that joy comes to us almost without exception when we as parents use God's plan and rear our children with the right kind of discipline, help them to be controlled, to learn to control their own lives so that they can really know what true joy is. But this is also true as far as the spiritual side of matters is concerned. Remember in those Beatitudes where Jesus was talking about the blessings that are received there in Matthew 5? He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Rejoice. Rejoice in persecution. That's what he says. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Jesus said the true way to be able to rejoice as a Christian is to be able to stand the suffering as a Christian. Peter put it like this in 1 Peter 4:16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God." And that word glorify there suggests this idea of joy, both in the heart and expressed. Glorify God on this behalf. Now, most of us that are here tonight don't really know what persecution is as far as the church is concerned. There may be some of you in the audience tonight who have served as missionaries in other countries or have lived in other places where the church was not popular, and others who've lived in places where it was very weak. You may have a better understanding than I do of this point. But I think most of us have at least experienced the idea of people talking about the church in a negative way, almost sometimes making fun of some of the things that we teach and some of the things that we do. And it's not easy to rejoice when that's taking place. And yet he tells us that the true joy comes by being able to keep that persecution in focus and to remain faithful no matter what that persecution is. Brian was telling us Wednesday night about some of our brethren that have been put in jail in Nepal because they were preaching the gospel. It's a little difficult for you and me to understand in our day and time. Oh, it's not hard for us to turn to the Bible and read about Paul and Silas being in prison. That's a long time ago somewhere else. But in our day and time, there are those that are being persecuted. And yet we've had men and women down through the ages in other countries who have stood up for the truth and taught the truth and lived the truth in the face of persecution. If you've been reading recently about what's happening in other countries, you realize that great strides are being made in the country of Poland. We're having some opportunities opened up to us now as far as the church is concerned in this country and even in some others that are unlike anything that's happened in our lifetime. Certainly there is a reason to rejoice about what's happening. But you know why we can rejoice today that some of those things are happening? Because some of the suffering and the persecution that was endured by our brethren back several years ago in that very area when the church was looked down upon by the people in authority and in many instances where they would be jailed or run out of the country because they were teaching about Jesus Christ. The way for us to have joy and the way that we do have joy today is because of those times of suffering through which people went. There's hardly a week goes by but that we say something about the good things that are happening in Belo Horizonte, Brazil. There's every reason for us to rejoice. And yet there are some people in this audience tonight who were down in Belo Horizonte, Brazil several years ago when things were not going that well. And others even before them who blazed the trail and in many instances had to suffer and to do without and to sacrifice in order to teach the gospel there. And now in our lifetime, we're beginning to reap some of the joys that come as a result of the sufferings and the denials and the sacrifices that took place then. I grew up in a county in Middle Tennessee that at one time was said to have the highest percentage of members of the church per capita of anywhere in the world. I've heard Florence, Alabama, and that area mentioned in that sense now, and I'm not for sure which of the two would be first. But Jackson County, Tennessee is a very small county population-wise. Gainesboro, where we went to school at high school, now has a total population of around 800. And the entire county wouldn't have many more people than we have here in Chester County, probably, even though land-wise it's a little bigger. When I was very young, there were 50 congregations of the church in that area. Some of them have now combined. The last count I had was 38. 38 churches. Many of them very small. Some others of them need to combine. We were in a graduating class of 80, and out of that 80 in our class, I would say at least 50, maybe 60 of them were members of the church or from families that were members of the church. We enjoyed blessings in that area as we grew up that are unlike what most people have. But I had some of my forefathers tell me a little bit about what had happened years ago. My grandfather and others could remember some of these older men back in the buggy days and the horseback riding days who came through Jackson County. And we've discovered some writings that have described some of these men who came in and who sacrificed and left their families. If you've ever read the biography of Raccoon John Smith and Barton W. Stone and some of those who were in other areas, you have an idea of what I'm talking about. Men who would leave their families and get on a horse and go into another area and preach the gospel and sometimes come back home just long enough to get a change of clothes and leave their family and go somewhere else to preach the gospel. It's because of the sacrifices and the willingness to suffer on the part of men like that that we're able to enjoy the blessings that are present in my lifetime. The way to joy is through suffering. We must be willing to stand up whatever happens, to stand for the truth and to be willing to suffer and even count it an honor to be thought worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ, even if people make fun of us. and laugh at us and joke about us and talk about us. The way to joy is through suffering. In the second place, I believe this lesson applies tonight as far as the preaching of the gospel is concerned, especially preaching about negative things. Now, folks, there is a difference in negative preaching and preaching about negative things. There is no time under any circumstances that we need negative preaching. But there's certainly the time that we need to preach about negative things. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and he talked to them about a problem that they had there. It was a problem of fornication, and it was such that there was a man who evidently was living with his father's wife. And the church there was just overlooking it. And in the 5th verse, notice what he says. He's telling them that they need to purge out this leaven, and they need to do something about this sin that's there. And he says, here's the reason. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's saying, brethren, we've got to deal with some of these problems and get rid of these problems and do some spiritual surgery, just like we have to sometimes with a physical body, in order to save that soul in the end of it. When he told Timothy to preach the word in 2 Timothy 4:2, he went ahead and said, reprove and rebuke and exhort. And I say to you tonight that reproving and rebuking is not negative preaching. It's preaching about negative things. And young folks, when we talk to you and we plead with you and we take God's word and common sense and we say, stay away from these things that will harm the body, we're saying to you, we want you to give up something that could be a pleasure for a season. There is pleasure associated with sin. The Bible recognizes that in Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. It's seasonal pleasure, but there is pleasure. There is pleasure evidently associated with the consumption of alcohol, the consumption of other drugs. That's one of those things that I want to know by observation and not by experience. But evidently in observing the situation and listening to what I'm told by others, there are those who talk about what a pleasure it is to have a drink of alcohol or to take one of these drugs and get on a high. And we're preaching against that and teaching against that as gospel preachers and Bible teachers and parents. We're saying, young people, don't do that. Don't have that pleasure. Deny yourself of that pleasure. Call it suffering if you want to. And at a time when there is peer pressure to join the crowd and be with the in group, we're saying, we want you to suffer if necessary, to take your stand. Why? So that you can have the joy of a healthy and pure body later. And we are constantly saying to you, and I promise you one thing, you'll hear it again and again. We're saying to the young people, and even to those of us that are married, do not indulge yourself in the pleasure of intimate sexual relationships with someone to whom you're not married. And if you came down and faced the reality of it in light of what we were talking about, the pleasures of sin, is there pleasure involved in that? Yes. No doubt there could be a type of pleasure involved. What are we saying? We're saying you need to suffer, if you want to call it that, by denying yourself that which might be the moment's pleasure in order to have the joy that comes later on. And there is one thing that I can tell you from experience. There are few things, perhaps one, our association with Christ, that carries with it more joy than two people with pure lives and pure bodies being able to come together in the marriage relationship and enjoy to the fullest every pleasure that God has ever placed in human relationships. Now, if you want to have joy in life, you must deny yourself of that which is the moment's pleasure, and if you want to call it suffering, do so. Because the way to true joy is through the suffering of self-denial during the preparation to be ready to live in the family and to live with God. And in the third sense, as indicated in this passage in 1 Corinthians 5, we need to realize that the way to joy is through suffering when it comes to church discipline. Brethren, the one thing that bothers me more than anything else, and I'm stating this as a personal opinion from the bottom of my heart. As far as the church is concerned in general, and as far as we're concerned in this local congregation, is our failure to do what the Bible says do relative to church discipline. Now, I'm not just talking about withdrawing fellowship. Withdrawing fellowship is the last part of church discipline and won't have to be used in most instances if we'll do what God tells us to do. If we would realize that sometimes there has to be a period of suffering for there to be the end result of joy, we'd save more souls than we do. Those of you who've been here in this congregation much longer than I have, let your mind wander for just a moment and think about the people whom you know who are living in Henderson and Chester County, who used to sit on one of these pews that are not here at any of our services now, who formerly were involved in the Lord's work, who are not here. Now, if I understand the Bible right, what's the end result for a person like that? Well, I know there are circumstances sometimes beyond one's control where it may be impossible for a person to be actively involved. We're not talking about that type of person tonight. Are we allowing ourselves sometimes to step back and be afraid that we're going to hurt somebody? That we're going to cause some suffering? If I go and talk to them, it may cause them some tears, and it may cause them to have to make some changes. And they may not like it. I say to you tonight that the way to true joy is through suffering. And if it takes some shedding tears, and if it takes some people getting upset at us and angry at us, and whatever it takes, if we can bring about the result of restoring those people, James says, we'll save a soul from death. And if that's not joy, tell me what joy is. Now let me ask you this. What's going to happen if we don't do anything? If we let that person live in what he thinks is joy now, and we enjoy our negligence and doing nothing along this line, what's going to be the end result? I think we can turn this thing right around. The way to suffering may be through joy, but the way to joy is through suffering. God's Word teaches that we are to be concerned about our brothers and sisters that are not faithful. Brethren, if one's overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, Galatians 6:1, if he errs from the truth, go bring him back to save his soul and cover a multitude of sin. James 5:19 and 20, even withdraw yourself from the one who walks disorderly. I could take you tonight to a young man that lives in Middle Tennessee, a young man that I respect very, very highly. I was present on an occasion when we had to withdraw fellowship from that young man. After having tried everything else and working with him to try to get him to be restored to faithfulness, nothing else worked. And the elders of that congregation led the congregation by announcing and explaining that we were asking the congregation to withdraw its fellowship from him. That was a time of suffering. In this particular case, that young man's mother was a member of the congregation, and he had two brothers who were attending there. Others who lived as his neighbors and had seen him grow up in the community. There were tears shed. There were hearts that ached. But not too long after that, that young man was restored. Within the last 2 years, his wife has been baptized into Christ, coming from a far distance away with some real problems in her life to now be a Christian. Very fine young man, a young man that's upstanding in the community, a young man who is thought of in that way, a young man that's a faithful Christian. With every hope, if he were to die today, he would go to heaven. And the only reason, I'm convinced of this, the only reason that young man is enjoying his life today is because there was that period of suffering through which we traveled by the Word of God in doing what God has said. Sometimes the way to joy has to go through suffering. This is sort of summed up in Peter's account in 1 Peter, the first chapter, where he's talking about heaven, that inheritance that fadeth not away, reserved for us in that place up yonder. Verse 4, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice this verse. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter said, if you live for God and you put things that are spiritual first, one of these days you're going to know joy in the way you've never known it. Though for a season, there may be those times of suffering and difficulties and problems and heartaches and hurts. And I imagine that most of us in the audience tonight, if we're honest with ourselves, have some of those hurts in our hearts. They may not be the same ones, but most of us have some. Most of us realize that there are times that we suffer in different ways and we hurt in different ways because we're trying to live the Christian life. But just remember, one of these days, there is that inheritance that fadeth not away, and there is that great joy to walk upon the street of gold, to surround the throne of God and worship Him for an eternity. Though there may be that time of trial and that time of suffering and that time of heartache, the end result is joy. The way to joy is through suffering. May God bless us and grant us the strength to stand even in the time of trouble and times of suffering, knowing that whatever we go through, as long as we hold on to God, there is that joy at the end, even in this life in many ways, and especially in that life that is to come. The way to joy may be through suffering, but it's worth it. Are you willing to suffer as a Christian? Are you willing to live as a Christian? Again, I say, I think those of us that live in this area do not have to suffer in the way that some do. But we must be willing to deny ourselves. That means willing to suffer in any way that's necessary in order to enjoy that life as a Christian. Some of you in the audience tonight need to think about that seriously. If you've not been baptized into Christ, you need to think about being willing to confess Him, to stand up for Him, to say, I'm not ashamed on my Lord. I'll stand with Him whatever the cost, because I know the joy that's at the end. And if you are in the midst tonight and you've been a Christian, are a Christian but not a faithful one, and you need to admit your mistakes to yourself and, if needed, confess them publicly and ask for forgiveness in prayer, that's not easily done sometimes. Sometimes it involves some personal suffering to have the courage to do that. But I tell you, the joy that's in heaven over one sinner that returns to the fold is worth all the suffering that it takes. If you need to come to Jesus, come while together we stand and sing.
Upon your ear, sweet His cry of love and pity calleth, turn and listen.